We will now move to agenda item 5, grazing program policy and WACs. And this is a briefing, perhaps condensed a little bit, but Paul Dahmer and Jeff Burnham, oh, and Cynthia Wilkerson. I hope I got everyone named. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair Carpenter and Commission. We realize you've had a long protracted morning. So we'll do our best. However, this is another one of our very critical, very an issue that people are very passionate about on all sides. So
Cynthia, let me say, please don't feel rushed. That was just a little bit of a comment of frustration over getting so far behind, but it's all important stuff, so please.
Absolutely, absolutely. Appreciate that, Chair Carpenter. So we're here today to talk with you about our grazing guidelines and policy on WDFW lands. And I do have with me Paul Dahmer, our Section Manager for Land Stewardship and Operations, and Jeff Burnham, our Range Ecologist. And we had originally been proposed to come to you today for requesting a decision on the WAC and policy changes that we've been undertaking. And we decided to step back one step for a few reasons. And we hope that that is helpful for you. One of them is just that it became apparent that it would be helpful for everyone, and certainly for the new commissioners who are being thrown into a giant new world, to just give you an orientation to our grazing program and a good sense of, we have WDFW lands and how and why and their kind of thing that we actually utilize grazing as a management tool. So to get kind of ground you in that. And then we have had quite a lot of volume of comments and work. And as was referenced by Amarok Weiss earlier, there's, some of them are very in depth, and Jeff has undertaken a very intense review of all of the work and all of the literature cited and gone through. And he has, right now, I think we're at a 50 page response to comments, but very diligent. And so that has taken some work. It's also taken some capacity from the AG's office, who's had a bunch of stuff on their plate. So we just want to do this right and take the time to have an informed conversation and make an informed, allow you to make an informed decision. So the decision will not be today. The decision will be February 12th. And what we're doing today is an overview of our grazing program. And then Jeff will walk you through specifically and make it hopefully even more clear about the two pieces that we're asking a decision from you for, and then the other two pieces that are fairly new information that also went through SEPA. So that's where we're headed. And just a reminder that DFW lands and our management of them is in service to our mission for the new commissioners. We've got over 1 million acres of land spread throughout the state. Every county in the state, 33 separate wildlife areas, 213 units, over 500 water access areas. And again, they are managed in service to our mission. So next slide. And we really, the rubric for management of our lands is protecting land and water for wildlife and people. Our vision is a Washington where fish and wildlife thrive in healthy habitats and where people experience and enjoy our state's natural gifts for generations to come. We've been doing quite a bit of work. I loved Commissioner Smith's language yesterday in committee about showcasing our lands. This is a body of work that I've taken on since becoming Lands Division Manager. So our lands are managed to provide access for fishing, hunting, and other wildlife-related recreation, to foster experiences and exploration, and preserve natural and cultural heritage. And again, we have a particular niche in the public lands world with regards to being grounded in our mission. So now I'm going to pass. Oh, first, I was just going to note and give you the context with regards to grazing. So that's what we'll be talking about today, but wanted to let you know and see the numbers of where we do graze and how many permits we have throughout the state. So these are the common numbers. We've got 61 permits and about 122,000 acres. So it's about 12% more or less, give or take. of our lands portfolio. I'm going to pass it now to Paul Dahmer to talk a bit about how the grazing trail utilized with regards to that overall arching mission.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I want to talk today about the role of grazing to address our mission.
Hey, Paul. Hey, yeah. Paul, you are challenging to hear. I'm not sure if you can move closer to them.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll speak up too, so let me know if this is a little bit better. I want to talk to that, the role of grazing toward our mission. Managing vegetation, we can do that with grazing for fish and wildlife. We can enhance recreational opportunities. We can encourage habitat conservation at the landscape scale through our participation in coordinated resource management plans. And we can preserve habitat by protecting community character and open spaces as well. But I want to emphasize that wherever we have grazing, we are going to protect, we're going to monitor and protect ecological integrity. Next slide. So I want to step back a little bit and just give you a larger picture of our grazing. We have 1 million acres that the department manages. You can see that these areas in green here on the slide, mostly in eastern Washington. As Cynthia mentioned, we have 61 grazing permits on these lands. Some of them last just a few days, but the majority of them last about 1 to 3 months throughout the year. They cover about 12% or 123,000 acres of that 1 million acres. For each of these grazing management plans, we have a comprehensive grazing permit. We have a comprehensive grazing management plan that includes protective measures to protect the species, sensitive species, and habitats. The only exception to that is for our crossing permits or our temporary permits that are under 2 weeks, but otherwise we have comprehensive grazing management plans. I wanted to add here also that we also, for many of our grazing permits, we have taken them through a biological assessment under the Endangered Species Act, where we're using federal funds, Pittman Robertson funds, to implement that grazing. They've all been through a biological assessment under the Endangered Species Act. So what does grazing achieve on fish and wildlife lands? Next bullet, please. We can enhance waterfowl habitat with grazing, and I'll speak more to that in just a minute. We can increase food, shrub, and grass growth for deer and elk on our wildlife areas. Here's on the Chicho Wildlife Area in Assotin County. Here's a picture of the top right picture showing elk on one of our grazing pastures. This is where the cows come in, eat the senescent grasses. Stimulate new growth that's really desirable to the elk population that you see out there on our grazing pasture. This next picture is on our Columbia Basin Wildlife Area, where we can use grazing to control invasive biomass and weeds, or invasive weeds and biomass as well. So on the left, you can see an area that has not been grazed, just choked out with weeds, Phragmites. On the right, you see an area that has been grazed. It's wet soil. It provides good forage habitat for waterfowl, good foraging habitat for sandhill cranes as well, with invertebrates that are found there. So bringing in this, improving this habitat for those species is one of the benefits that we can achieve. Both these spaces also improve habitat or improve wildlife watching opportunities and hunting opportunities and recreation for the public. This third picture is on our Methow Wildlife Area, and it's grazing that we use to achieve our goals and our objectives of the agency beyond our borders, beyond the lands that we manage. So we work in coordinated resource management plans with our neighbors, with producers, and sometimes the Forest Service. We pull in the Conservation District and Natural Resource Conservation Service to come up with responsible grazing strategies across borders here that help us achieve the agency's mission as well.
Mr. Carpenter, Jeff, or whoever's sharing the presentation, adjust so we can see the screen in its entirety.
What are you seeing?
Just the whole left side kind of is cut off. So it just looks like it's not centered.
first letters, right, of those sentences. Yeah.
Maybe you just need to reshare.
I will try to do that. I'm not sure what would be causing that.
Am I coming through clear now?
Better.
Way better.
Okay, great.
Okay, and I think we're ready to go to the next slide as well, Jeff. Thank you. So we also use grazing to support.
Jeff, just move back.
It looks fine on my end.
Oh, does it? Okay, good.
So we use grazing to support community character by accommodating grazing when we're acquiring land if it's compatible with our mission. So here, Simcoe Mountains Wildlife and Klickitat County is a good example of where we were able to maintain ecological integrity and the grazing that's been part of the community for many years on this wildlife area. And then the last example I have here, I just wanted to mention that we're able to provide grazing to producers who've lost grazing grounds to wildfire. The department has stepped up year after year when we have been wildfires to help the communities when we can, we can maintain that ecological integrity to provide relief grazing opportunities. So we've done this in the back of the Carlton Complex Fire and Oak Mountain Complex Fire in 2014 and 15, and we're doing it now after the large fires we've had this fall as well. So we've had a grazing program on the Department of Fish and Wildlife Lands for years and years and years. So some have asked why we are looking at our guidelines now, why we're looking at policy updates. We want to put all of our guidelines and policy into one document so it's transparent and easy for folks to find. We also want to ensure consistency between our WAC and our policy. So we have some inconsistencies, and Jeff can talk about that a little bit more. We want to be openly addressing some of the emerging issues that Jeff will talk about, including risk management and how we consistently look at potential new grazing on fish and wildlife lands, if that is being looked at. And then we want to, of course, ensure proper commission review of what we have in this document. So Jeff's now going to pick it up and talk more specifically about some of these things.
Just to check in, how is visibility with the slides now?
Good.
Okay, great. Just let me know if it goes awry again. Thank you, Paul, and good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. Just allow me a brief moment to frame the rest of the presentation today. When we were before you in October, we went into some depth on the proposed amendments to WAC and the proposed amendments to the Commission policy on grazing. So today will definitely be briefer, but we do want to revisit the summary points for three reasons. The first is to clarify what you are and are not being asked to make a decision on. The second is to introduce some of the management tools to the new commissioners especially that we did not have time to get to yesterday in committee, and also hopefully correct some inaccurate narratives that have developed in some media about these tools. And then finally, to share some likely modifications we plan to make as a result of considering the many public comments that we received. So the first item we can reinforce right now, Cynthia did introduce this a few minutes ago. You will be asked to make a decision on two things. And the first is the set of proposed updates to the WAC, and the second is the set of proposed amendments to policy. And that's it. In October, and then again in just a couple of minutes, we'll talk about some of the guidance and the management tools that, along with everything else we're talking about today, underwent SEPA review. So the guidance and the management tools constitute a non-project action that the Commission doesn't have the responsibility to act on. The Department did prepare a mitigated determination of non-significance as a result. And as Cynthia discussed, we've also prepared and are finalizing a full response to the associated public comments. You'll receive all of this prior to your decision in February. So the proposed final text for the WAC, the proposed final text for the Commission policy, and the full response to comments. So now moving into the WAC revisions, and again, these are summary points. We went into a little bit more detail yesterday. Paul mentioned that WAC and policy have authorized permitted grazing on WDFW lands for a long time. The changes that we're proposing are not major, but they're important, and they would have the effect of reinforcing and reiterating that grazing does have a role to play on department lands. But I think it would also, taken as a whole, introduce a more protective set of conditions than currently exists in WAC and policy. So we would clarify, permits are subject to desired ecological conditions and the strategic plan and the department's mission and management objectives. And we would clarify which permits go to the commission for review. So right now, current WAC language includes an exception for temporary permits. We would retain that exception, but remind you that all of those temporary permits are subject to ecological standards assessments. We would retain an exception for renewals. We would clarify, however, that grazing could be permitted on recent land acquisitions for a period of up to 3 years. If the department chose to renew a permit after that length of time, the commission would then need to see that permit. And then finally, we would clarify that permits could be discontinued upon expiration. Current WAC language seems to have a presumption of reissuance of those permits and only speaks to the different ways in which they could be renewed. Move on to the commission policy summary points of revision. We would essentially restate the existing roles for grazing on department lands, and we would add two more potential roles for grazing on department lands. Those are recreational opportunity and protecting community character. And I would definitely refer you to an expanded discussion of community character in the response to SEPA comments. We would retain a requirement that ecological integrity must be maintained on grazing permits. We would remove some duplicative and inconsistent language in the policy as it relates to grazing management plans. The more conservative and more protective language that already exists in WAC would then become the one clear requirement for grazing management plans. And the new policy would also require consistency with the grazing WAC and the department's conservation mission. Finally, I would remind you that existing commission policy provides for the development of cross-program review and best available science. The new proposed language would essentially memorialize a requirement that cross-program review and best available science continue. The grazing evaluation framework is not something that you will render a decision on, but it did receive SEPA review, and we want to highlight this today because it would apply to proposals for new grazing on department land. And when I say new grazing, what I mean is acreage that the department manages, but that does not have a history of permitted grazing within the previous 10 years. And up to now, we just have not had a standard procedure to handle these types of proposals, and they come in different ways to a different set of staff. And the procedure that we've outlined boils down to a process of listing the objectives and benefits, as well as the risks and the cost. And I'll move fairly rapidly through these. Some of the objectives that might be identified for permits could include forage benefits. Those might be nutritional in nature or perhaps structural or accessibility. Some permits we might be interested in controlling tall emergent vegetation. Paul spoke to that a little bit. Agricultural residue would probably be an uncommon objective, but it is possible. Vegetation controls to include fuels management. Fuels management is forefront in the minds of a lot of people right now because of some of the really distressing aftermath of the fires last fall. Fuels management is something that WDFW considers in relation to grazing permits, but I would add that there are a lot of factors that influence the appropriateness and also the effectiveness of grazing for that kind of objective. Whether it makes sense would depend on a number of things, such as the particular vegetation community where grazing would occur, the timing and intensity of that particular grazing permit, and a fuels management objective would certainly not be a rubber stamp for approval. It's something that we would look carefully at. alternate pasture is really nice to be able to provide. We don't have a huge set of properties that are available, but we do try to issue that when we can. Things like coordinated resource management, community and landscape value, those can be really useful in conserving large landscapes in an unfragmented condition. Subdivision and fragmentation are a pretty challenging aspect of managing wildlife in Washington. So let's move on to some of the risks of having livestock on the land. There could be strings attached with funding that we use to acquire a specific property that preclude livestock grazing. You usually will need some amount of fencing to properly manage a grazing permit, and fencing comes with its own potential impacts on wildlife that we would need to understand. There's the potential for transmission of disease with some livestock and in some settings. We have a variety of recovery plans in place for different species. We have species of greatest conservation need, and all those would need to be considered. Certain areas are more prone to soil crust impacts in particular, and that's associated with weed invasions. Some watersheds have had really extensive and important investments in aquatic restoration, and we would not want grazing to interfere with those types of investments. Conflict with recreation is possible, not inevitable, but we would also want to understand that. I talked about weeds a little bit, and we're going to get into wolf livestock conflict in more depth in just a second. So the existence of any of these risks with a grazing permit proposal does not necessarily mean that the permit would be canceled or it could not go forward, but it would mean that we would need to have measures that either avoid or appropriately minimize these risks. And those measures are going to come with a price tag. The fact that there is a price tag, again, wouldn't necessarily disqualify a proposal, but it's something that we would need to understand. And the reason that things have costs, not necessarily disqualifying a proposal, is because grazing also has benefits. And we believe that under certain circumstances, it definitely has a role to play. Okay, wolf livestock conflict management. So minimizing conflict is a high priority for the department. We're seeking to simultaneously promote wolf recovery and coexistence with grazing, and we believe in large measure that's possible. It may require a number of different management strategies. This could range from the temporary removal of livestock on the one extreme to the rare case of lethally removing a wolf on the other. Now, you need to be aware that we received a large number of public comments opposed to acting against wolves in any way. So it's vital that the commission understand exactly what's being proposed. The proposed amendments to WAC do not address wolf management, and they don't authorize, encourage, or compel lethal removal of wolves. Neither do the proposed policy amendments. Neither does any part of the guidance and the management tools that underwent SEPA review. A recommendation to lethally remove a wolf could never be a possible outcome of any part of this entire grazing management project. There is a statement in there, and you also see it on the slide here, about wolf removal being one of the management options. However, as concerns this project and the recommendations that will be before you as a possible decision, is limited to a recognition that wolf management will continue to be governed by the department's wolf management plan and by the wolf livestock interaction protocol, and that the department will implement those plans across the state regardless of underlying land ownership. So again, no aspect of what we're talking about today addresses wolf management directly. So if the grazing guidance and tools do not involve wolf removal, what do they involve? It begins with a risk assessment. And this is done at the local level by biologists who are closest to the permit area. They will identify high risk factors and, if necessary, develop site-specific recommendations in addition to standard sanitation requirements that apply statewide. After that, there is a consensus-based process between department staff and the permittee. And the end result of that is a set of site-specific measures, again, if necessary. Those could include temporary livestock removal. When I say temporary, an annual operational plan is just that. It's just annual. So measures that are developed for one season do not necessarily carry over unless they're, again, agreed to and required. if temporary livestock removal were to be required, we would try to locate alternate pasture, even though we can't guarantee the availability of that. Now, notice these quote-unquote high-risk events down here. So a couple of depredations, the presence of wolf activity centers like dens, either on or near the permit boundaries, or a depredation on the permitted pasture. So I think some people wound up with the impression that if one of those events occurs, it would mean the automatic removal of livestock, and that is not the case. What it would mean is that a new risk assessment would be performed as soon as possible. The same risk factors and recent history would be considered by, the same local staff, and you would re-trigger the same consensus-based process to try to figure out what the best option is. Now, if temporary livestock removal is required, only the director could authorize that, and the department would view it as a last resort. You might be wondering whether this could work or not, and so I'm going to share with you our experience in 2020. Last summer, we did have several areas where wolves were in the vicinity of existing grazing permits. We ended up with two of them that were, so it says amended, that wouldn't be the legal word, but we had additional requirements on two permits to add non-lethal deterrence that exceeded those standard sanitation measures. A variety of options were forwarded to the director. The director did not choose to require removing livestock from the land, nor did he require any reductions in the usual allotted AUMs for those permits. So last year it worked out, but the bottom line is that each scenario of wolf livestock conflict would be managed in a site-specific manner. I'm not going to spend very long on this slide. I just want to highlight that the department has gone through several rounds of review, both within the department and with a diverse set of stakeholders outside the department and non-governmental organizations. And let me just conclude here with a few remarks about public comments. I've tried to summarize them here. You should be aware that a large number of commenters in their written comments addressed a question which was not actually asked, which was, should grazing continue to be permitted at all? We received some comments in support of grazing, again, that question which we didn't actually ask, and a rationale of a large number of those had to do with fuels management and wildfire mitigation. We received quite a few more comments opposed to grazing, and they were usually arguing that we shouldn't be acting against wolves, and they were usually opposed to the idea of grazing on public lands in general. As a result of these public comments, as I mentioned, we will likely recommend three sets of changes to what we proposed to you in October. I would characterize all of them as minor. First, we would clarify that all permits would continue to be subject to desired ecological conditions. Now, remember that we proposed to remove that requirement at the very top of the WAC because a separate subsection within the WAC already required that as part of grazing management plans. It was not our intention to remove that requirement from any permits. And even if we remove that language, the vast majority of all permits would still be subject to that requirement. But we, upon reflection, agree with those commenters that wanted to clearly apply to all permits. So the effect of that change would be to simply retain existing language. So that's a pretty minor change. Also in October, we proposed that those grazing permits subject to commission review would actually require active commission approval. Now, some public comments suggested that this was not the role of the commission, and that makes sense. The commission's role would be to review permits with authority to object and stop them if necessary. But that role would not require the commission to actively approve the permits with all of their different technical requirements. Like the last change I mentioned, this would actually amount to retaining existing language in commission policy. And finally, we received a number of technical comments dealing with the various management tools and terms that exist within grazing management plans. And some of those have resulted in minor additions to the text in the tools describing that. So that concludes our presentation for today. As a reminder, you will be provided with the full response to SEPA comments and the proposed final text with those minor changes I just discussed for the WAC and the commission policy in preparation for a decision next month.
Okay, Commissioner Smith has her hand up.
Thanks, Jeff, for the good presentation. And I'm sorry I missed the gentleman's name before that. So this gives me a better explanation, and I'm really brand new to this issue, but I guess I'd like to know a little bit more. And I guess, you know, you're all having to do a lot of bear with me and bear with Fred today because we're new, but why it seems to me that lands that are owned by Department of Wildlife, which are, you know, whose primary purpose is to provide habitat for wildlife and recreation for wildlife users, why would, in what scenario would grazing livestock be given preference over wolves to the point where we would consider lethally removing wolves? I mean, I know about the statewide, you know, policy, but on wildlife lands, it seems like, you know, the native wildlife should always have that highest consideration, but it seems like you're saying there's some circumstances where that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, thank you for your question, Commissioner Smith. My reaction would be that we don't think that those two values are necessarily mutually exclusive. We think that they coexist in a large number of circumstances.
And Commissioner, I would add your language was, why would we choose the grazing over the wolves? And I would assert that we don't. I would assert that it is our goal to avoid wolf-livestock conflict, and it is our goal to promote coexistence. But we are looking at very seriously at places where there's potential for conflict. We're looking very seriously when it comes to higher risk potential for conflict, and we are working to require higher levels of action and proactive avoidance. And if you talk with the livestock grazing community, you will hear pretty much 180 from what you just stated. They are saying that we are prioritizing single species management over ecosystem management by prioritizing wolves. And clearly, we assert exactly what you said about our mission and mandate being with regards to the fish, wildlife, and ecosystems and the recreation associated with those. So I think, again, it's a highly emotional issue and there's a lot of nuance, but we will be happy to take you through the steps that we consider when we go through the process. But I assure you that it is not a putting a management tool above the wildlife.
Well, that's not exactly the question I asked, so let me try again. And I'm not talking about single species management because I understand, for instance, you know, if there was a conflict with sage grouse and ravens, and I don't even know if that is a conflict, but, you know, when it's wildlife species endangered and needing maybe to do some predator control on DFW lands, I get that. But what I don't get is why we would ever say that, okay, we've tried these non-lethal deterrent measures and, you know, we still are having wolves, you know, come into the allotment. And actually, I don't know where the trigger would be. You mentioned you were going to abide by the wolf plan and the, you know, conflict guidelines that we're currently using for private lands and other public lands. But on DFW lands, I guess I'm still not understanding why we would ever, you know, kill wolves to benefit cattle on DFW-owned lands. And maybe there's a record that explains how you got to that point, and maybe we can, you know, get there offline. But that's a question I'm going to look for an answer to.
Yeah, I think fundamentally it comes down to the behavior of the animals and the impacts depending on where you are. And we are looking to our experts in wolves, you know, to speak to that and speak to the landscape impact. And generally the concept of lethal removal of wolves is managed at a landscape scale and not at a land ownership scale. And that's why it's not part of the purview of this policy. So that is a piece of the story. It's a complex story. We happy to talk with you more in depth about it. And we have dealt with this issue on several fronts, and we'll continue to engage the dialogue.
Okay, thank you, Cynthia. And Commissioner Kuntz has his hand up.
You're muted.
Old people. I just wanted to thank Cynthia and Paul and Jeff. I thought that that was a really clear, excellent presentation. And I know it's a lot of work to put those together, but thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Let's see. Mr. Smith, do you have your hand up again, or did you fail to take it down? Okay. Thank you, Cynthia and Paul and others. Like Fred said, it was very good. So